So let's pray, and let's open God's Word together. Let's ask God, teach us how to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we are humbled. We're in awe of your invitation to us, that you want us to come to you and pray and be seated with you in the heavenly realms, praying from a position of victory. Thank you that you invite us to pray from a position of intimacy. Lord, we confess that we oftentimes take prayer for granted. We think so little of it. We're lackadaisical about it. But Lord, would you help us grow in prayer? Guide our time now, we ask. Silence the enemy. Break off any harassing elements of the demonic. Loose us now to receive from you. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying one day, and one of the disciples came to him and said, "Oh, Lord, teach us to pray." And the fascinating thing is that Jesus didn't say no. He didn't say, "Oh, don't even bother asking." He didn't say, "Oh, you'll never be able to pray like I pray." Instead, he gave him an answer. And we saw last week how it was a four-part answer. First, he gave him this prayer pattern, which we're going to look at in more detail today. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And then the second paragraph, he gave him a prayer picture. A picture of a person coming to his neighbor and saying, "Please give me some food to give to my guests who have showed up unexpectedly. And the message from that parable, that picture, is of persistence. Then next he gives us prayer promises where he says, "Ask and seek and knock." And he seems to give us these huge promises that are bigger than we can almost believe. Huge promises that what we ask for, what we seek, what we knock for, will be given, will be answered, will be opened. Huge promises. And then he wraps it up with this surprising answer and even changes a teaching that he had given before. He says, "If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give," not just good gifts this time, like he said in Matthew chapter 7, but this time he says, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And we see that the key to praying like Jesus is to have a pattern of prayer where you hit these seven crucial components, to have a picture of prayer of persistence, and to have a promises in mind of prayer where God says, "I will answer, I will open to you what you ask for," and most importantly, to have this power of prayer, to be empowered by the very Spirit of God to pray the will of God. For when we pray in the empowerment of the Spirit, the will of God, we know we have that which we have asked of Him. So I'm looking forward to digging into these with you in more detail. Today, let's look at the prayer pattern given to us in what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to note that there's going to be seven parts to it. Seven parts to it. And so often we skip to one of the parts where we're asking for daily bread and for things like that. And it's okay to do that. But let me encourage you to expand your prayer life and to start your prayer life maybe differently than you have in the past. Jesus taught us to pray, first of all, in Luke chapter 11, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." And our first point is going to be that we pray, number one, out of a relationship. We pray out of a relationship. I wanted the kids to come on up and picture for us that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We're in this close connection with Him. We're praying, "Our Father." The "our" there, of course, is the plural pronoun. It's something that we have together, but it's something that's personal. "Our Father." The term there is a little more formal. Do you remember what Jesus prayed when He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He's under trial? He says, "Abba, Daddy, Papa." Jesus teaches us to pray based on a relationship. And what kind of relationship is it? It's a relationship of love. Your Father in heaven loves you. He has adopted you. He's brought you into His family. He has poured His heart into you. When He looks at you, He sees you the way He sees Christ, because you are in Christ. You are clothed with Christ. And so we pray as if we're the very son or daughter of God. We're a child of God, co-heirs with Christ, seated with Christ. And so it's okay to think about what that means when you're praying. Maybe you've got a special location you like to pray on a daily basis besides just the praying all day long. Maybe it's a corner in your living room. Maybe it's near your kitchen table where the coffee is close by. But let me encourage you. Pull up either a literal or a figurative chair next to you. And recognize that Ephesians chapter 2 says you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You're seated with Him. And Jesus is the full manifestation of the Godhead. And so when you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to really the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you pray out of that relationship. But what I have discovered in my own life and in many people I've talked to, they have trouble recognizing the intimacy of their relationship with Christ or the intimacy of the relationship Christ wants to have. Some people are putting their hands up. They're pushing away. God is drawing, God is wooing, God is pulling people close. People are saying, no, I can't handle it. I don't want it. Have you struggled with a sense of intimacy with God? Has your prayer life been hindered by not recognizing the intensity of His love for you? One of the problems some people have is that they had an earthly father that corrupted the meaning of that term, father. And when you pray, our Father, suddenly that term triggers all these other images of a father who wasn't there for you, who didn't truly love you unconditionally, who let you down, who caused you pain. And even if the pain wasn't that severe, maybe it was a father who was distant. I know some of you have some Norwegian ancestry in you, and some Norwegians weren't the most outgoing and talkative personalities, and they had this image that a father was supposed to be strong and silent. And maybe that hindered your understanding of the love that God has for you. Let me invite you to do a little deeper work. The handout that I gave you, how to break off the orphan spirit. Because some people have allowed the devil to deceive them, and they have forgotten the truths about who God really is and his true character. So I encourage you to read through these Bible verses that talk about being adopted by Christ, about experiencing the love of Christ, and the invitation out of the book of Jude to actually keep ourselves in this love relationship with Christ. Let me encourage you to saturate your mind with those truths, and then to take three important steps. In fact, I'd like you to do this with me this morning. This might be something that's a little out of your comfort zone or something that's new to you, but after pouring yourselves into these truths and letting these truths pour into you, then I think it's really important you take three steps. The three steps are a prayer, a renunciation, and another prayer. Prayers and renunciations are very different. They're both things that are spoken, but who they're spoken to is very different. Notice that it's going to be a prayer to God, then a renunciation of the enemy. So those are words spoken actually to the demonic, and then it follows with a prayer to God. When you're doing this, I mean, you're invited to do this throughout your life, throughout your day, on an ongoing basis. But when you do it, you might remember you're talking to somebody different. And what I do is, when I'm not trying to actually read something, I'll change my posture. When I'm praying, I'll have my eyes closed. Maybe I'll have my face up. Maybe I'll have my hands out in a way of gathering in the answers to my prayers. But when I do a renunciation, I open up my eyes. A lot of times I'll take my finger out as if I'm scolding a dog or something. And I'm speaking not to my Father in heaven, who I worship, but to a being that needs to be ordered and scolded. So I invite you to take these steps with me. Do you have your handout? I don't know if that's readable up there. It's kind of small. So if you have your handout, let's pray this prayer together. And you'll see that it is a prayer of inviting Christ to rule in us and have our whole being. Let's pray out loud together. Father God, I submit myself, body, soul, and spirit, wholly to you. I declare the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ over my life and over all things. That's a great prayer. That's a prayer you could pray every day. But then, if we've been lied to, if we've been in a battle against the enemy, it's time to resist the devil so that he'll flee from you. It's time to rebuke the enemy the way Jesus Christ did. So here's what I encourage you to say if you've been hindered by an orphan spirit or by a spirit of fear or a spirit of anxiety that has caused you to doubt the love of God. I invite you to say this out loud with me. And we're talking to the evil one. Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You orphan spirit, I break you off of me right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I loose myself from your influence now and forever. You be gone from me. You go to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, never to return to me again. I am free from you now and forever. See, the enemy understands authority. And when you recognize that you are seated with Christ high above all principalities, powers, and rulers in this present age and in the age to come, then you can exercise that authority. It's based upon who Christ is in you, not upon who you are in yourself. The strongest man by himself is no match against the weakest demon. But the weakest man in Christ is far stronger than the strongest demon. The question is, in Christ in us. And so you can speak to the demonic that's harassing you the same way Jesus did and order them to leave you and not to influence you. But I encourage you not to end there. Once you've done battle with the enemy, it's good to return to prayer, return to worship. So let's pray to our Heavenly Father together. Loving Heavenly Father, right now I receive your Holy Spirit of adoption in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I claim my inheritance as a child of God. I receive the fullness of your salvation and the assurance of my salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. I am loved. I am blessed. I am forgiven. I am adopted with all rights and privileges. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, as I was still in bed and before my son came and attacked me, I was praying and I started by saying, Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. I know that as I approach you, I'm in a relationship with you. You've adopted me. I am your son. That makes a world, a universe of difference as we pray out of a relationship. The second thing we see in the Lord's Prayer is worship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, we're saying, Lord, may your name be holy. May you be recognized as the great one that you are. May you be lifted up. May you be honored. May you be revered. May you be respected. So we worship him. We greet him, and we have a salutation of recognizing our relationship, and immediately we flow into worship. We recognize his worth. Now, notice how it says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. It's wonderful to use the names of God in Scripture to remind yourself just who it is you're worshiping, just who it is you're adoring, just who it is you're addressing. And one of the things I love to do is have lists of the names of God, because each one is a little bit different character of God that is emphasizing, that is bringing out, that is communicating. And as you use these names of God, it helps you. You could use the word Elohim. That means that he is the one who is great and mighty and dreadful. Or you could use the word El Shaddai, the one who is mighty to completely nourish and satisfy and supply us. or the word Adonai, which simply means Lord, which means He's the ruler, the one who reigns, or Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, the one who goes ahead and sees what's necessary, the one who's in advance of us, or Jehovah Rophe, name given by God Himself. It's the one where He says, I am what I am. Jehovah Nisi, where God is telling us that He is the standard to which all men must gather and march. And there's so many others, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Or the names of Christ, where we recognize all the different things He is for us. He's our advocate. He's the anointed one. He's the author. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beloved one. He's the branch. He's the brazen servant. He's the commander. He's the deliverer. He's the father of eternity. He's the governor. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's the bread of life. And on and on and on. Each of these names of God and names of Christ help us truly worship Him and adore Him. Would you spend time when you pray in relationship and in worship? As you do, it sets the stage and blesses your other prayers that will follow. Third thing we want to see is lordship. Lordship. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then we pray these things about His lordship. Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His lordship over the things that exist, the kingdom and His very will being accomplished. What is done up in heaven, we want done here on earth. And let me encourage you, as you pray these lordship prayers and your kingdom come prayers and your will be done prayers, to think about the different aspects of our society. Various authors have written about our society, how to pray for our world, and they've used the term the seven mountains of society. Seven mountains of society. And when you pray, your role as an intercessor might be for one of these mountains, to tackle it, to take it down. It might be the mountain of the governmental, like the president or his cabinet, or the Senate, or in other lands, the king. Or it might be the legal mountain, the courts, the judges, the whole legal system. Or it might be the economic mountain, business and trade and industry and banking. Or the health mountain, hospitals, medicines, doctors. Or the church mountain. We need to be praying for the church around the world, the leaders, the pastors, the congregation members. Or the media mountain, TV, movie, newspaper, entertainment. And lastly, the education mountain, schools, colleges, universities, teachers. We want to be praying that the will of God will be accomplished in each of these areas. I believe God is raising up intercessors. Are you one? Raising up people who have an assignment from God to be speaking the will of God over certain areas that they've been assigned to pray for. So a salutation, then three clauses seeking God's glory, and next we see three parallel petitions for food and forgiveness and protection. Let's use the term sonship. Number four, sonship. A son receives from his father the two most important things, food and forgiveness. Someone to bring in the groceries and take out the garbage. That's what a father does for a son. That's what a parent does for a child. And as we recognize our sonship relationship with God, we're able to go to Him, God, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need. And again, when you pray that prayer, think about that Ethiopian pastor, or that Congolese pastor, or that Chinese prisoner. When you pray, give us our daily bread, maybe it means something different when you have that mindset of people somewhere else in the land. Give us our daily bread. It's okay to ask for that. But also forgive us our debts. As we go to prayer, we are immediately recognizing the holiness of God and our need for Him to do a cleansing work in us. We stumble, we fall. The one song we sung was talking about that. God's grace is greater than our stumblings. The cross wins the war, even if occasional battle seems to not go the right way. But we go to prayer recognizing God invites us to ask for our forgiveness. But it doesn't end there. The fifth category we're going to call fellowship. So after we pray for God to forgive us, we go in then to say, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Let me ask you a question. What do you think happens to the effectiveness of your prayer life when there is unforgiveness harbored in your heart? Do you think there might be a connection? Do you think that it's possible that harbored unforgiveness hinders our prayers? If this small, little, concise Lord's Prayer pattern includes the statement, forgive us as we forgive others, it must be important. It must be crucial that as we're praying, we're also letting God change us. So let me encourage you to make this a part of your daily prayer. Lord, help me to forgive those I need to forgive. And if there is anybody I haven't forgiven, bring them to my mind. What if all of a sudden a picture of someone's face pops into your mind when you're praying that prayer? Maybe it's your wife or your husband. Maybe it's somebody from church or somebody from work or school. All of a sudden, as you're praying, Lord, help me to forgive those I need to forgive. The same way you've forgiven me, and a picture of someone's face pops into your mind. Let me encourage you, don't just push that aside. That's a picture given to you by God. That's a prophetic insight. God's saying, here's a relationship you might want to deal with. Now we're getting a little personal, aren't we? Here I am trying to teach you what Jesus says about how to pray, and all of a sudden I'm telling you, when you pray, stop and address those relationships. If you've got a hurt heart, it matters. It matters to God. It matters to your spiritual health. Don't push it aside. Say, Lord, don't bother me with that dysfunctional relationship right now. I got to do my prayers. What if God says, stop doing the prayers because they're not doing any good and deal with the relationship that I'm prompting you with? Could we become people who pray expecting to hear and expecting to do interaction with God? After praying about God's helping us forgive others, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We call this leadership. We pray prayers recognizing his leadership. Protect us from Satan's common temptations. Protect us from the tactics he uses to trip up so many people. Protect us from financial fears and anxieties. Protect us from distrust and insecurities. Protect us from immorality and addictions. Protect us from greed and covetousness. Protect us, Lord, from those tactics the enemy is wielding against me on a common basis, trying to trip me up. And deliver me from the evil one. He is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Deliver me from him, Lord. It's interesting to note that some of the oldest manuscripts don't have the closing doxology in them. But if you look at the closing doxology that has been used for centuries in the Lord's Prayer, you recognize that it's biblical. It's based on some Old Testament prayers. It's something that is a good conclusion for us to use as we pray. And we recognize his ownership. Our last point is his ownership as we pray. For thine is the kingdom. For thine is the power. For thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a great ending. Maybe you spent some time asking for your daily bread. Maybe you spent some time dealing with relationships. Now it's good to come back and say, but it's all yours, God. You're sovereign over it all. You rule. You have ownership. And I worship you as the one who is worthy of all my attention and all my love. I'd love to talk with you one-on-one about these seven stages to your prayer life. I'd love for you to enter into a discipling relationship with someone else in the congregation and grow in your prayer life. We all need to say, Lord, teach me how to pray. I've been praying my whole life, but sometimes I've been in a rut. Lord, teach me to pray like Jesus prayed. Thank you for this prayer pattern. Help me to use the seven stages of it. Let's be people who humble ourselves and say, Lord, teach me how to pray like Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for this privilege of prayer. And we affirm that you are our Father. We thank you for the relationship we have with you, a relationship of love. Help us to understand your love, appreciate your love, grow in your love, appropriate your love, to walk around moment by moment throughout the day knowing that we are the beloved of the Lord. Your banner over us is love all the time. We thank you for that. And Lord, we worship you. We want your name to be made holy in our mouth, in our mind, in our heart, in our hands. We want your name to be made holy in our family, in our church, in our community. We want you to be respected and honored and revered. And Lord, we pray that your rule would be extended, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done here on earth, in our government, in our legal system, in our economic world, in the health industries, in our churches around this planet. Lord, we want your will to be done and your kingdom to come into the media and to the education systems. We want your rule to be extended. And Lord, we do ask as sons and as daughters for you to provide our daily needs. Give us the health we need, the strength we need. Give us the blessing of sleep and the beauty of food that tastes good and is nourishing. And Lord, forgive us our debts. We recognize that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. So help us. Forgive us. And thank you for forgiving us. We appropriate your forgiveness. We don't just ask for it and then walk away as if we didn't get it. We receive it. We grab a hold of it. I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Help us to put thankfulness for forgiveness into our prayer lives, Lord. And Lord, forgive us as we forgive others. Help us to be people who extend grace in abundance to the people who have in one way or another hurt us. We now, in Jesus' name, forgive those who have hurt us. And Lord, we ask for your leadership. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. Lead us so that we're victorious in these battles. Protect us from the temptations. Protect us from the lies. Protect us from the demonic attacks. And we know, Lord, that you are. We boldly move forward into the assignments you give us because we know you are our leader. We pray that over those on Megan's missions team landing in Haiti this morning, that you would protect them as they enter a land in which many parts of it were dedicated to the devil. But we declare that you are sovereign. You are in charge. You are our leader. And we say, deliver Megan and her whole team of the 10 students from the evil one as they're in that land. And Lord, we affirm your ownership. It's all yours. Everything is yours. It's your kingdom, it's your glory, and it's your power, and it's forever, forever and ever. We pray in Jesus' name.